Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
Quickly, some pit stops before we go to the pit stop sequence with Jeremy Shaw. Shea Adam has a VP Racing pit report.
We've just seen the 28 Allegra Motorsport Mercedes into the pit lane. Daniel Morad taking that car back over fuel and tires for them. And the 42 NTE Motorsport Audi into the pit lane. Marcus Paltzla not getting out of that car. Fuel and new tires going on. Waiting for the tire stop to be done. They still have yet to change the right rear. Fuel nozzle should come out here soon, but the tire change is going to take a little bit too long for them. Let's wait and see if they're able to get it done. Not a very clean stop for this car. Oh, wheel spinning on the jacks before the car dropped down. That's a drive-through penalty. 42 just took themselves out of contention.
Jeremy Shaw, pit stop rotation, or the sequence at least. Tell me what you know and what you reckon.
Yeah, talking of rotations, that was an uncharacteristic error there for Marcus Paltzla. But yeah, big changes during this round of pit stops. Number 60, no change there. That comes out with a very handy lead, actually extended a little bit from 10 to 15 seconds now. But in second place, it's now the 01 car who leapfrogged ahead of the number 10, as did the number 55 during this round of pit stops. The number 60 car did a lap longer than everybody else, 26 laps on that last stint of fuel. That's going to put him in even better shape for the final pit stop of the day. It'll be one lap later than the number 55, which is strong. But he's now in third place, is Harry Ticknell, in that Mazda, and just a second or so behind Kevin Magnussen. That's going to be a really good scrap all the way through the end of this race. And Philip Albuquerque he doesn't seem to have quite had the pace, to be perfectly honest, as his two teammates in this race. Maybe that's an illusion to me, but the other guys weren't losing any ground, and he has done. Plus, they lost time during that round of pit stops. Don't really know why.
Yeah, odd one that, isn't it? Really is. Two Corvettes then, leading out in GT Le Mans. Nick Tandy had stretched out to 2.5 seconds. He's been pulled back in traffic to just on half a second. Heads through the toe of the boot at turn 7. Beautiful uphill, sweeping right-hand corner. Point the car at the sky. Through comes Pete Modirani in the 31 red and white Whelan Engineering Cadillac, putting another lap on the GT Le Mans leaders. Turn 8. Much trickier than it looks, turn 8. Difficult to pick a braking point. And then the camber seems to help till about halfway through the corner. Turn 9, and Tandy is being held up by the Allegra Motorsports GT Le Mans car, and that's what was slowing him down a wee bit. Got through now, and he's onto the front straight. Completes another lap with just over 63 minutes to go, and more pit lane callers. GTD leader in from Turner Motorsport, and answering the drive through is the Audi. And there's been an incident at turn one, and it's not a small one. Lost on the exit at turn one, spearing across the track into the right hand side. Full course caution, 63 minutes to go. Turner Motorsport have got the pit stop done. They might be able to go to the end from here. It'll be close if there's a long clear up. That could be a massive, massive stroke of luck for the 96 car. Everybody else will have to pack up the EMR safety vehicle, one of the Cayenne GTSs, the 01 car, already at the machine. Oh my goodness, mate. That's a big incident. Everybody having to slow down. I'm very pleased to say, by the way, everybody is slowing down. It's the Tower Motorsport number 8 car, by the way, that has gone in. The driver's door is open. And it's Gabby Aubrey that's behind the wheel of that car, the very affable Frenchman. He's out, head in hands. He knows. I think he knows he's made a mistake. He's healthy enough to vault the three-layer guardrail on driver's right, and he doesn't want to be talked to, seen, or anything else. Sitting talking to the AMR safety crew. Debris all over the road at the exit of turn one. That, Jeremy, looks to me, and we haven't had the opportunity to see what happened, but that looks to me very much like the classic over the curbs at turn one, and the car snaps round and then bites, spears you into the arm core on the opposite side of the track. If it's not, it's a bounce off the left-hand side, and the impact's been so big that it's bounced him all the way across to the right. But whatever, that's been a big impact there at the exit of turn one for Gabby Aubrey.
Yeah, it really has. And, of course, we don't know whether there's any other cars involved, because guardrail on the left-hand side of the track, it's a long way off the racing surface, particularly when the drivers are told not to use that runoff. Yeah, they are enforcing the track limits, being the red and yellow curbing and the white line at the exit of turn one. There's a distant view.
It was the curb. It was the curb.
He lost it. And went inside first.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then to the outside. Ouch.
The bodywork went to driver's left. The car actually stopped in the middle of the road. And then Gabby was just rolling it, I think. Clutch dipped, trying to get off the middle of the road, which he did rather well with what was left of the tower prototype. Yeah. So, yeah, my first thought, over the curb, lose the back end, bite, and into the right-hand side. He's over the other side of the Armco. He's out of the car, out of the tower motorsport machine. This is going to be a decently long clear-up as we move into the final hour of racing of the Sailing 6 Hours of the Glen, which starts now live on IMSA Radio and IMSA TV. Thanks very much indeed to all of our volunteers at the Glen. Great work all over the weekend with a number of incidents that have had to be dealt with quickly, calmly and professionally. And whether you're wearing white, blue, orange, high-vis, holding a flag, driving a flatbed, have a stethoscope around your neck or whatever, or in fact, even if you're just helping people park cars or find somewhere to stand, all of our volunteers deserve our great thanks. The motor racing world owes you a debt of gratitude every time we go to work. So thank you very much indeed to all of you here at the Glen this weekend. Indeed, many of you I know back in Europe have been marshalling today. The Orange Army around various parts of the UK. And I know a lot of you will be listening. Thank you very much indeed for your hard work and professionalism. The Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre has Jeremy Shaw and me, John Hindhoff, in it this weekend. We'll be back here on Thursday and Friday for the next round of the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, Michelin Pilot Challenge, and the IMSA Prototype Challenge. And then we're off in the 16th and 17th of July up to the North East and the North East Grand Prix for the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship and Michelin Pilot Challenge, an all GT event at Lime Rock Park. Very different to here, just 1.5 miles. Very quick indeed. Vies with Road America, actually, for the fastest average lap speed that we have here on the IMSA schedule. Think back to the last time we were there, and it was the Faf Porsche that won by less than half a 9/11 length, closest finish in IMSA history. You can join us there. All the details, limerock.com for tickets and more. And if you are under 16, a veteran or an active duty military, your entry is free, and everybody's parking is free at Lime Rock Park as well. Limerock.com for all of the details. But before that, as I say, we're back here on Thursday and Friday for three more events under the IMSA umbrella. Well, Jeremy, now I have got the strategy software open and I'm doing frantic calculations. How long is this yellow going to be who's going to roll the dice. Somebody will roll the dice. I have no doubt at all. The GT cars have a little bit more in terms of track time per fuel stop. I can't see any of the DPIs unless this is a particularly long stop. All of them had, what, four or five laps at speed before that yellow came out. At least some of them more than that.
Yeah, we'll see some of those, particularly the ones at the back in DPI coming in under this caution. I think the number 48, the number 31 most likely, and the number 5, they're definitely going to come in because that will mean their final pit stop will be shorter. I wouldn't be surprised to see the difficult decision is for the number 60 car, because that was out in front. It's running longer on fuel than most of the other cars in any case, so therefore requires less fuel. The interesting thing is whether the top three will come in and give up the track position in case one of the others doesn't. But I would certainly expect the last three to be in the pit lane now for a splash. Number 48 car was in 12 laps ago in any case, so that's pretty much halfway through its stint, so I'm sure they'll be in. So that's going to be really interesting. The LMP2 cars, they just both made their pit stops a few laps ago in any case under green.
Yeah.
So I'd expect the order to remain the same there, number 52 and the number 11. They've had a fabulous battle all the way through this race. I think Guy Smith is a couple of laps behind in the United Sports entry car number 22. So it's really just between the 52 and the 11, as it has been all the way through. In GTLM, yeah, that is interesting, John, isn't it? Because they were last in the pits probably 20 minutes, best part of 20 minutes ago. So I think they're all going to need some fuel. So they might as well come in now under this caution period. Then they can get to the end. So I expect to see all of them in. And the advantage there very definitely with the Corvettes, because they were in several laps later, than the 24 car, and 8 laps later than the 25. So therefore require less fuel,
which means they'll be standing still a shorter amount of time. Is what Jeremy's alluding to there.
Good point. And in GTD, most of the leaders had made pit stops right before, or fairly soon before this caution period, but actually no, they hadn't, had they? 14, 16, 12, 23. There'll be a bit of a gamble if they stay out there. Number 96, 42 and 28. Number 42, with that drive-through penalty, did it lose a lap? And has it got the wave around? I think the answer to those questions, it lost a lap to the race leader. I think it has got the pass around. So is back on the lead lap. So that's great news for Marcus Palterla. And he, therefore, will be on the same sequence as everybody else. He has made his last pit stop and served his penalty. So the cars are in particularly good shape in GTD then are 96, 42 and 28. I think those were the last ones to make their pit stops, John.
Well, the Turner BMW, the 96 car, was in as the Indeed. Caution came out. So that, I mean, they couldn't have planned it any better than that. I'm not sure what crystal ball Will Turner has, but if it could be at All Taco Monday, couldn't it? For those that don't know, that is the winning meal of choice. With 53 minutes to go, the prototype field are coming in. This will be tight. I still think they'll need a wee splash, depending on how much yellow we have left. The remains of the Tower Motorsport car have gone. We're opening the pit and we'll cycle through. How much racing do we have left? That's a question I can't answer. But for the pit stop sequence, we'll go to Shea for this VP Fuel Racing Fuel pit report.
And this is interesting because Bill Riley is splitting his strategy too in LMP3, but I'll get to that in a moment. Fuel and tires for Philippe Albuquerque in the 10 Konica Minolta Acura. Fuel only for the Mazda. This could be a ploy of brilliance.
They got it.
Mazda goes out and gets
track
the
position.
Lead.
Track position.
Track position ahead of Olivier Plan, the 60 Meyer-Shank Racing Acura, the 01 of Kevin Magnussen, all those cars taking fuel only, and then tires for Philippe Albuquerque. But track position is invaluable, and Lena Gage just pulled a blinder.
Well, interesting. Then none of them needed a huge amount of fuel, Jeremy. So you would have been sitting there if you were doing all four tyres. I have a suspicion that there was only a couple of tyres added to some of those DPIs. We'll get the definite on that in a wee moment. But no Michelin tyres for the 55 Mazda. And they've sent Tinks out. They probably said nasty things about his family on the radio before we go green and rile him up and basically send him out on full attack. But look at the time on the clock. We're nearly 50 minutes. These cars can do maybe 42, maybe 43 minutes flat out. This is going to be amazing if someone gets to the end from here. I'm very interested to see. We've got drama. We've got drama at the end of the seal in 6 hours of the Glen. Whatever happens now, and we've still to have the GT Daytona stops as well, Jeremy, and the GT Le Mans. The GT Le Mans cars will be fine. They can do about 50 minutes. But the DPIs, I'm not sure, Jeremy. I'm really not sure.
No, it just depends how long this caution period is. Quite frankly, and you know, whether there's any additional cleanup required there. If it doesn't last another 15 minutes, then yes, we're going to see splashes for the DPI cars. It was the right call to come in. I mean, if this is a long caution period, then maybe they can get to the end from here. Whereas if you hadn't stopped, you probably couldn't get to the end. So it definitely made sense there. The strategy call, though, to not change tyres on that number 55 car. Is that the only one that didn't change tyres, Shay, that you saw?
55 did not change tyres. The 01 did not change tyres. And the 60 did not change tyres.
The 60 didn't either. Well, that's very interesting. The 60 should be beaten out because that would have required less fuel than anybody as well.
Yeah. Well,
I'll be ruining that one.
Well, the thing is, Jeremy, it's highly unlikely, isn't it, that any of those cars can make it to the end unless we've got another 10 or 15 minutes of full course yellow. So everybody's going to have a splash. So what you've said to Tinks there is you've got to burn fuel and go full rich until I tell you to come in for your final splash. And at that point, have you built up enough of a gap above everybody else? We know that Mazda can be quick. We'll talk about that in a moment. VP Racing Fuel pit report for the GTs. Here's Shay Adam.
Fuel and tires for the Lexus. And the tires that came off that Lexus look a little bit worn, have to say. Was surprised on that. Fuel only for the Aston Martin, the heart of racing.
Red light at the end of pit lane.
Was on. He stopped. Ross Gunn is a smart cookie. Next out is the number one Paul Miller Racing Lamborghini. That car taking fuel and tires as well. Now the pit light goes green. Third in line is the Wright Motorsport Porsche fuel and tires for Patrick Long. And then fourth was one of the two Lexuses. I think that was the 14. Yes, ahead of the sister car, the number 12, a bit further back. But the 88, also with a great stop for that Porsche. Cat leg jumped up a bunch of places too.
Also, this helps the number 9 Pfaff Porsche as well, which had that stop that Shay called where Johnny Knotts, the senior pit lane official for IMSA, was making sure that the window net was fastened and gave them the thumbs up when he was happy. They lost quite a lot of time there. Well, all right, that time cost them maybe a couple of positions on track, but they're all going to bunch up again behind the safety car. That is a fast car with a fast driver, and Lawrence Vanter will be set on again on full stun by the team. We'll wait till it all shakes out. And how quick. Final wave by is happening now. Final wave by is happening now. So I think we're going to have something in the region of 43, 44 minutes to go. That's going to be really interesting for the DPIs. Really interesting for the DPIs.
And the other class, John, LMP3, Bill Riley splitting the car, splitting the strategy. The 74 Riley Technology car leading the Michelin Endurance Cup and the points for Gar Robinson. They came in and pitted. The 91, Jerome Bleekemolen, stayed out. Let's see how this one finishes.
Jeremy Shaw, this is going to be utterly absorbing for the last 45, 43, whatever it is, minutes of the sealant 6 hours of the Glen. Just what we need to finish off a very busy weekend, which we've had great racing at. But this one, edge of the seat stuff, all the way to the checker.
Yeah, brilliant stuff, isn't it? Been this, I reckon, is the only the seventh lead change in this race. Number 55 guard becomes the fifth different leader. And you know, inside the final, 45 minutes or so now in this race, 55 car is out front, and that's where that team wants it to be. That was the team that won here, scored their first victory as motorsports here at Watkins Glen 2 years ago. This is the only time we've been here since then. We didn't get here last year, of course, because of the pandemic. So Mazda very, very keen indeed to get back into the victory lane, particularly having started off the season so well with the podium finishes. That streak was broken last time out at Detroit, where they slipped back to fourth at the end. But this is going to be an absolutely incredible contest. I don't know, there seems to be
side-by-side contact in the line behind the safety
car. Be third.
As to between the number 10, which is the Konica Minolta, and the 0-1 of Kevin Magnussen. Neither of them want to give it up. They're both in third at the moment. And there was definitely a little bit of leaning going on there. All handbags at the moment. Shea Adam, what do you reckon as they came out the pit lane?
The Cadillac beat the Acura out of the pit lane. I do remember saying that. I'm a little confused right now.
Well, actually, I can check that, because I can have a look at how they came out of the pit lane, if I can scroll back far enough. You keep your eyes on that. Yeah, 0-1 came out a full second ahead of Philippe Albuquerque on the pit lane exit. So we'll just check that from the overhead as well. It was quite tight, but it wasn't tight at all, actually. Oh. So not sure why there should be that going on. Now, interestingly, the Acura has got ahead there of Magnussen. Now, this could be interesting, because if they have to reorder here, which they might have to do, this might take another lap. And then we get down to 40 minutes. Might not be the worst for those DPI cars, Jeremy. Do you think they've worked this out between themselves?
Well, potentially so, yeah. If they were teammates, I would say they definitely did.
Oh, what a race this has been. That was our fourth intervention from the C8 safety car. We'd had 2 hours and 3 minutes on the nose of green flag racing after the third time of asking that we saw that lovely white C8R. Shea has more news on the last stop. I thought a couple of teams only took two tyres. Shea, what do you have?
Thanks to Matt for letting me know. The 60, the Meyer-Shank Racing Acura that's been so fast today, well, they gave Olivia Plaw new rubber on the outside tires only. So two tires for that car. Right. Let's see how that strategy plays out.
Can upset the balance of the car. It's a good thing to do, but far better to put them on one side or the other rather than the front or the back, because that really, at the start of the run, would upset it. And don't forget, they'd only been out for 9 laps. So it's not as if those tyres that came off had done an awful lot of work. So I kind of like that call. We see it much more now in sports car racing, Jeremy, than we used to. And we're going to get one more lap. We are going to get one more lap. It's going to be 40 minutes. I reckon everybody will be okay on fuel. Oh, hang on a second. Now, what's going on here? I think we've got a couple of cars coming back for another splash of fuel here, Jeremy. And if they're going to do that, they might as well take tyres, because there's no further wave bike. So if you're going to go full rich to the end, you might as well take four new Michelin tyres. Smoke them if you got them. Isn't that the case?
Absolutely right, yes. Nothing to lose there for those two teams. They were sixth and seventh in the order. Number 48 car, that lost a couple of positions during that round of pit stops. So absolutely nothing to lose there. Number 5 car has been pretty much at the back for most of the day.
No, didn't take tyres.
Just a splash of it.
Just a splash of fuel. Yes. I've got a feeling though, Shea, those two, and they're going to... No, they'll have to wait for the line, so they'll be right at the back of the whole line.
Duval did not wait for the pit exit line. Call. That's a penalty.
Yeah.
Kobayashi caught it. Duval did not.
Yeah, and fair play, by the way, to those that caught it earlier on as well in the GT. Corey G says, wasn't that a passion for caution for position by Wayne Taylor Racing? I love them, but what the heck just happened? Doesn't that have penalties attached? I would say yes, but it's not my call. So Duval, red lights on, drives straight out the pit lane. Oh, just stopped by Kobayashi. Just about got it pulled up. Somebody was screaming on the radio to him there, weren't they? Stop, stop, stop!
Sorry, stop, stop, stop. Can we? Stop.
I've just gotten a text message that will make GTLM fans around the world very happy. The order has been given. Corvette, you are allowed to race. Do not hit each other. See, I told you they'd say it again and again, but yeah. They've just said it again.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's an extraordinary error from the Mustang sampling driver and the team in some respects. I also saw some overtaking going on there as well, and I'm not sure if you do that, you get to go back and do the split either. So, no clue what's going on here. Let's see what happened. And I can't answer the question about the 10 and the 0-1 because there's no doubt in my mind, both on the data and on the visuals, that Kevin Magnussen beat Philippe Albuquerque out of the pit lane. But that's not how they're lined up for the start. Magnussen might just leave him there, of course. And if there's a penalty, then what will happen there is that car will be taken out of contention because it will have to be a drive-through. But no doubt at all that Loic Duval blew the red light on the exit. Kobayashi, he's got his front wheels over the line, but he hasn't left the pit lane. I think he's fine. I can't say the same. Another lap of caution. Another lap of caution. Now,
to figure out that 10 and 0-1, I would guess.
And in comes the 31.
Yeah.
So Durrani now is coming in for a splash of fuel. Now, again, let's see if they just splash. You're going to get held with the red light. So a splash of fuel, if you haven't got brand new tyres on it, stick brand new tyres on it, surely. If you've got them left.
If you have them.
If you have them. That's the point, Jeremy. Yeah, that is the point. No tyres over the wall. It will be just some fuel for the wheel and car. Clean everything off. And there he goes.
People, go that way.
Go that way, yes. Down the hill. I'm presuming we're getting that penalty called on the Mustang sampling car. But we'll wait to have that officially confirmed. Shit.
Mikkel Jensen in the 52. And is that really Stephen Thomas in the 11? I thought it was Tristan Nunez in the 11. Both down the pit lane for a splash and dash. So both of those LMP2 cars are good to the checkered now.
The prototype class split has happened. We've still got cars coming through. So is that why we're still under yellow? Because the prototype class split wasn't completed because we had cars down the pit lane. Well, that's interesting. It's an interesting way of prolonging the yellow.
Good news for those guys to rejoin the back of the pack.
Yeah, sure.
Opportunity then to rejoin the back of the pack.
I think they were resetting it. It's now showing the 0-1 of Kevin Magnussen ahead
Correct.
Of the 10 of Philippe Albuquerque. So I think it took that extra lap.
Yeah, two.
Exactly.
Two extra laps. Absolutely agree. Harry Tinknell is almost in the passenger compartment of the Corvette. The lights are out. The lights are out. It's going to be a 37, 36 and a half minutes dash for the checkered flag, to the checkered flag of the Sirland 6 Hours of the Glen. If you've just joined us now, oh my goodness, your timing is about perfect. It has been the whole of the race leading up to this last gap dash. How hard can the cars at the front of the field that did not stop for extra fuel How hard can they push? There's plenty out there that have got fuel to the end. They'll be able to go full rich. We know that the 60 has got two new tyres, sitting in second position for Myshank Racing in the Acura. Here comes Harry Tinknell. Where's your money now? Those of you in the grandstands, get on the edge of your seat because you're going to be there for the next 37 and a half minutes. We're back to green flag racing. Tinknell weaving left and right down the front straight to clean up and warm up his Michelin Slicks. Gets through turn one. Immediate challenge for third position off the track from the number 10, Philippe Albuquerque. He won't be allowed to keep that even if he gets it. He's made up a position off the track. That won't stand. The team will... might as well tell him to lift off for a moment and let them go back ahead of them. The problem is it's so tight there. If he does that, he might lose a position. But Loic Duval's got a penalty coming anyway in the black or dark grey, should I say. And gold car, Shea Adam.
It's here. Stop plus 60 for Loic Duval for running the pit exit.
Yeah, out of it. So the Ally Cadillac and the 31 Wheel and Engineering Cadillac will both make up positions. Great restart, Jeremy Shaw, from Harry Tinknell. Did exactly what he had to do.
Yeah, superb. Now, though, he's got... they're definitely all got the same fuel. There's only, 35 minutes or so remaining in this race, but it's not going to be flat out to the end from here, I don't think. They're going to have to save some fuel, so management is going to be important there. And the Mazda has that track position. That generally is key.
3-4 wide coming through the traffic at the moment with some of the prototypes that were out of position and making those pit stops very late in the yellow flag period, including the number 11, the Wynn Autosports car. That one easily spotted with its yellow flashes on the front of the blue nose of the car. Stephen Thomas, Tristan Nunes, Thomas Merritt have done a good job today. Bit of dirt thrown up on the exit of turn number 9 as everyone is jostling for position further back. Tinknell's across the line and has a full 1 second lead over Oli Pla. Doesn't sound like a lot, but this is not just a drive through for the number 5. This is a stop and 60 second hold for blowing the pit lane light. The two Corvettes have got a great restart. Where are the BMWs? Mired in the GT Daytona traffic. Further back down through the field in GT Daytona, Bill Oberlin leads across the line for Turner Motorsport. And remember, they cycled to the front because they got their pit stop in as the yellows came out. And in second position, that was Brian Sellers going through into second position there. Side by side, two Porsches and the two Lexus all disputing position going into the inner loop with 35 minutes to go. This GTD battle has really been set alight. We worried earlier on. What was I thinking about? Why was I stressed about it? We were worrying earlier on that they were spreading out. And now we've got the top, 8, 10, 12 cars all battling for position. It's the top 10 with Jeff Westphal, who went across the line in 10th position in the 39. Carbon with Purrigan. Audi, the dark grey with green flashes. They're all on the lead lap in GTD. BMW still trying to fight their way through. Bill Oberlin is in between the two GT Le Mans BMWs. Nobody's told him, Jeremy Shaw, that he's not driving a GT Le Mans BMW anymore. He's still got the pace as Oberlin, hasn't he?
He has indeed. Fantastic effort there with Brian Sellers. He managed to find a way past Marcus Peltola, I think at turn one on that lap. So he's up into second place. Peltola is he still in third? It's awfully tight, isn't it? That whole gaggle of cars in GTD are just sorting themselves out. But you're right, Bill Oblin's in the lead, and he led by a pretty handy margin at the end of that last lap.
Yeah, 30-odd minutes plus, of course, where you are on the track. If you've just gone through with a second to go, you've got another 3.4 miles. So add a potential extra lap onto this. And I think critical, perhaps not critical, but certainly worrying for the cars that didn't do the extra splash at the front of the field. Harry Tinknell setting himself a pace, 1:33.4 for the top three cars last time around. They can go quicker than that. By the way, the damage at the left rear of the Mazda, that bit's finally fallen off. So there's no worry about that rattling and causing that car to get the meatball flag and have to be pulled in. It's just not there anymore, so there'll be a little less downforce on the left rear. Don't tell Harry that. He'll just drive around it. That's what Harry does. Another, well, this time a 32.9 for the leader. 33 flat for Ollie Plaar. Plaar with two new tyres. Tinknell on the tyres that he has had on for, what, nine fast laps or thereabouts. Seven fast laps, before the yellow flag came out. Two Corvettes at the moment. A Tandy versus Garcia. Being told, race, don't crash. Yeah, we've heard that one before. Actually, in fairness, we've seen it at Daytona. We've seen great last 30-minute battles at Daytona. We've seen great last battles, last half an hour, sometimes last lap battles between Corvette. Nick Tandy, his daughter Ava, is 7 years old today. I'm sure she's been allowed to stay up a little bit later down in Bedfordshire in the centre of England, just after 9 o'clock over there. And Dad doing a great job at the moment at the head of the field. It's been a good time for Nick Tandy and JTR, Joe Tandy Racing, team principal there. They notched up their 100th win in competition recently in their just over 15-year history. And I'm sure the team who affectionately call Nick, and I mean affectionately, just call him Boss, they'll be tuned in as well. Hi, fellas. Congrats on everything you've achieved, and the Boss is doing a good job at the moment. Tracked down Tonio Garcia before the yellow came out, got ahead, pulled out a 2.5 second lead, lost it, but he's there again now at the front of the field with half an hour to go. Magnificent stuff. Don't forget, we want your points arising, observations, questions, rants, whatever. Hashtag Michelin post. Michelin PRT, hashtag Michelin PRT at IMSA Radio, please. And we'll have a chat about that in the post race show. Garcia faints to the left hand side in turn 10. Not a real overtaking spot there. Tinknell is checking out. 1.4 seconds, relatively speaking, he's checking out from Ollie Plaar.
That's the key word there, isn't it, John? Relatively speaking, you're absolutely right. But tell you what, the Corvettes are not checking out. Because John Edwards is hanging right with them there in the third position. He's only, what, three or four car lengths behind the two Corvettes as they battle for position. Colin DeFilippi has fallen back just a little bit now. He's a couple of seconds back, but there's still, what, just under 30 minutes remaining in this race.
Yeah, the Corvettes racing each other, I don't think are helping. And considering that the BMW had to come through GT traffic, down the inside, Garcia goes through in the lead, up to second, the BMW, into the inner loop. That was a bold move by Garcia, and the BMW had huge speed with the double tour on the back straight into the inner loop. My goodness, what a pass that was. Garcia takes off now. Is there a problem for Tandy, or did he just not get the run out of the top of the hill at turn four? And he's going to be under pressure any second now by Conor DeFilippi. Top four within 3 seconds in GT Le Mans. Garcia lights the afterburners, heads for home with 29 minutes to go. Corvette BMW number 24, Corvette number 4, BMW number 25. 3:24, 4:25. That's how it stands at the moment in GT Le Mans. What a move by the King of Spain, Tonio Garcia, Jeremy.
Yeah, that was a good move, wasn't it? For the lead of this race, and it was super tight. I mean, they weren't far away from being three abreast there. It was a really bold move, also by the BMW. There, John Edwards really got his elbows out there to move up into second place.
Beautiful, beautiful reading of the situation by John Edwards. Got in behind the yellow Corvette and used that tour from that car. Major issues being reported. Shea Adam, from the Corvette, what do you have?
All in the rear of that car, so there is trouble afoot for Nick Tandy. 28 minutes to go. Let's see if the car can make it to the end of the race.
Is that just the temps not up on the car, but the car not sticking? That would be certainly cause for concern with this much time left in the tank. In GTD, Bill Oberlin has a 2 second lead from Brian Sellers. Paul Miller Racing overnight engine change in the Lamborghini number one. And then 4 seconds back to Marcus Paltala for NTE Sport. They're coming back from a penalty, of course, for that car. Wheel rotation in the pit lane. Then Ross Gunn, another good run for Hart Racing Team and the Aston Martin. He's right with Paltala as the leaders are carving their way through traffic. 1.7 at the front of the field, off the track for the 0-1, and the car grinding out for Kevin Magnussen as he's right up behind Ollie Pla. Now, this is great news for Mazda and for Harry Ticknell, because Pla is having to drive looking in his mirrors, can't take the best racing line up into turn 7 and the toe of the boot. Magnificent stuff as the battles continue down towards turn 7. This is second place we're talking about here, and the Mazda is putting a bit of room. It's up to 2.7 seconds all of a sudden as Pla and Magnussen scrap between themselves. Not too far back, Philippe Albuquerque, about another second and a half. And Durrani's right with him now as well. So that's fourth and fifth together as they carve their way through traffic. Oh my goodness, this looks like the onboard footage from a police chase through rush hour traffic. Fantastic stuff from all of these drivers. Saved the best until last. Bill Oberlin letting the leaders go through. Brian Sellers does the same thing through turn one and up the hill at turn two. What a marvellous run this has been at the front of the field. Nearly 3 seconds for Ticknell now. Now Ticknell will be talking to Lena Gade on the pit wall. The fuel number is what's going to, I think, is what's going to count right now. Not the 3 seconds. He's got that 3 seconds. So now how can they get the 25, 26 minutes to the end? Magnificent stuff. Turner, of all of the bad luck they've had down through the years and some this season as well, Jeremy, they can't honestly say they planned this strategy, but they were in the pits at the right time, and the right man to deliver on that is Bill Oberlin, and he's got the lead in GTD right now.
Yeah, and he's going to be a hard man to pass. He's got a good lead as well, two and a half seconds over the second place car, which is Brian Sellers. He's pulled away now from Marcus Paltala in third, then the rest of the pack behind him. The Mazda on that last lap, Harry Ticknell just did a great job of getting through some really stiff traffic through the inner loop, and then the next couple of corners, which was critical to allowing him to gain a little bit of breathing space now over that pursuing Olivier Pla Acura.
I've
been a heartbreak for Meyer Shank Racing. Whoa. If they don't win this, I mean, he pretty much dominated the event.
Yeah, well, out fumbled at the last pit stop there, Jeremy. Never second guess the Gade. Lena on top form with Multimatic and with Ollie Jarvis and Harry Ticknell, along with the endurance driver added J-Bomb, Jonathan Bomarito. There was no doubt about the pace of that car. They've taken the chance when the yellow flag came out with just on the hour to go, and they've turned that into an opportunity. Can they stretch the fuel to the end now? Hashtag Michelin PRT at IMSA Radio. What a cracker this has been. And we're back with the short form of the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. That race live on Friday. Also, Michelin Pilot Challenge and IMSA Prototype Challenge all on Friday, with the practice and qualifying on Thursday if you're going to come to the Glen in person. Cracking 3 series short weekend. The two Corvettes then split now by the BMW. Tandy under pressure from Conor De Filippi, might not even be on the podium here, has the fastest lap of the race in that car, but that's might be all he gets. The leader in the 55, Harry Ticknell, on the back straight, heading down towards the inner loop, and he's got the battling GT Daytona's check that. GT Le Mans cars in front of him. Almost a touch a few moments ago at the bottom of the hill. It's one of the United Autosport cars, either the 2 or the 22. And it looks like Colin Brown is trying to get to the head of the P3 field. He split the two Rileys, which were looking fairly comfortable. Has already passed Gerald Bleekemolen, and it's Felipe Fraga now, just 2 seconds ahead of him, Jeremy.
That's exactly right, John. And Jerome Bleekemolen, he led at the restart. Fraga's the guy on the move. Not only that, Fraga set a new fastest lap of the race in LMP3 just two or three laps ago as well. Just a couple of laps ago, lap 170, 141.1. It's a tenth of a second quicker only than Colin Brown. He's got a 2 second advantage. So it's been a great performance once again from Felipe Fraga. And Colin Brown, though, he's going to try and chase him down if he possibly can.
Ian's just tweeted at IMSA Radio. He says, look, this is lovely. It's a very cool video game advert, but can we get back to the real race now? Thanks. There are more than a few elements of that, Ian. Don't disagree. Faf Porsche sitting in behind the Porsche of Wright Motorsports. Meantime, Tandy, maximum defence at the moment through turn one. The 25 BMW of Conor De Filippi had to go outside of track limits there to try and get round Tandy up to the top of the hill at turn four. Now, can he get out to turn four better than he did when he was leading? Meantime, Albuquerque right with Magnussen, Durrani closing down on them. That's the third spot on the podium there. Magnussen in the 0-1 Cadillac, Albuquerque in the 10 Cunningham and Alta Acura, and Durrani in the red and white Whelen Engineering number 31. They're all scrapping for the last step on the box. Meantime, the leader. Oh, now here's interesting. The leader, number 55, coming to Loic Duval, who's had the stop and hold for 60 seconds. And is there a final twist? Because that is a quick car, and Harry will not want him to hold him up. Loic Duval sitting in seventh, just on the end of the lead lap. We are speculating here that the 55 car can go to the end, the Mazda. Shea Adam can update us on that from the VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock Report and the Multimatic Mazda Team Pits.
Just checking in with the drivers now, but the last I heard, they were good to the end of this one. So, Chelsea and Isabel, your boys should be okay on this one.
Oh, they'll be biting their fingernails in the south of England at the moment. 20 minutes to go. Third spot on the GT Le Mans podium still up for grab. Lead in LMP3 still up for grabs, with Colin Brown now within a second and a half. GT Daytona, well, 3.5 seconds back to Sellers, 8 seconds to Paltala, but Paltala's got Ross Gunn on his gearbox at the moment for third place. Paltala in the NTE Sport Audi, and the Hart Racing team looking for another podium finish. And at the front of the field, the gap is 1.5 seconds between first and second, then 3 seconds back to third, and then three cars within a second for third place. Magnussen for Cadillac, Chip Ganassi, Cunningham and Alta Acura, and Whelen Engineering. Jeremy, this is what you call a grandstand finish. This is what you call an IMSA finish.
Yeah, this is brilliant stuff. And the gap between first and second, it was down to just over a second. It's now back up to just less than 2 seconds as they cross the line there with, 18 minutes remaining. So we've still got, about 10 laps left in this race. So there's still plenty of time here. And, it's not, they could probably get to the finish. We've seen these guys get really good fuel consumption, particularly at Mid-Ohio, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Where they stretched out their fuel loads quite substantially. But this is a much faster track than Mid-Ohio. It's not quite so easy to do here. So it certainly isn't over yet.
Well, and it's not easy to do if you've been pressed by somebody who has no fuel issues and you're trying to fight through traffic. So you're on and off the throttle. all of that sort of thing. You're just burning fuel at that point. Lift and coast is not in the lexicon of these drivers right now. There's a win up for grabs. There's a win in the championship. There's a win in the Michelin Endurance Cup. There is a win in the Sale and 6 Hours of the Glen, one of the classic sports car races in North America and the world. Fuel saving is not going to happen here. They will run these cars until they splutter, and we might see that. We actually might see that here at this kind of pace. A 33-1 for the leader last time, a 33-8 for the second place car. Tinknell then stretches out to over 2 seconds. Now, the slide rules are out, the calculators are out, but at this point, he's got traffic.
All that big long train of GTD cars, he's now got to get past cleanly. He's going to get catch some as he goes up through the S's. He's going to catch him actually in a pretty good place. I think they should be quick enough through the S's so he can just blast past them. Yeah, a couple of them on the outside of the final part of the S's. Now onto the straight towards the inner loop.
Mazda with the smallest engine, both in cylinders and capacity of any of the DPIs. Traditionally, it's not been great going through traffic because it loses momentum and then has to build up again. But Tinknell, don't tell Harry that. He's carving through this. I know, he's doing one of those challenges on Gran Turismo where you've got to pass 64 cars in 4 laps. To the left-hand side of the Heart of Racing Aston Martin, to the right-hand side of the NTE Audi R8 LMS. He's just totally laser focused in, and the lead is still 2.6 seconds, Jeremy, with the traffic now behind him and Ollie Pla now having to do the same thing. Awesome driving. Pla's picked his way through as well. He'll be on the outside at turn 9 going past the NTE Sport Audi. Marcus Paltala giving him a little bit of room. Then the battle, hang on, the battle for third's going to go through that as well. I'd almost forgotten that. Here comes the 0-1, right in there, and, oh, Durrani's through. Durrani's got through on the 0-1, so Durrani leads the 0-1, so Durrani up to fourth, Magnussen down to fifth, Philippe Albuquerque now third, so a huge change around in that battle through the traffic. Albuquerque now third in the number 10 Konica Minolta, but Durrani is trying to get back on terms with him. He's got past Magnussen as well. So that's now the battle for fourth and fifth going down to the inner loop. Durrani defends to the inside. Magnussen goes to the left. Can't get that one done. And ahead of them is Philippe Albuquerque. All three of them in the outer loop together. Oh my goodness. Take a breath with 14 call it 15 minutes to go. 2.5 seconds at the front of the field for Tinknell. Nothing at all between third, fourth and fifth. Albuquerque, Durrani and Magnussen. In LMP2, it's 5 seconds between Nunes and Mikkel Jensen. Jensen took a second out of Nunes last time around, though, in that battle, and they are on the same lap. GT Le Mans. It is Garcia for Corvette number 3, the yellow car, by 3.5 seconds. Tandy still holding on somehow to third place by the skin of his teeth, or if you prefer, a tenth of a second. Philippe Fraga has got Colin Brown 0.3 seconds behind him for the lead in LMP3. And Bill Oberlin has got 4 seconds on Paul Miller Racing's Brian Sellers. But Shea, Adam, that story might not be over in GT Daytona.
At 1:43 in the afternoon, it was the final warning issued for the number 96 Turner Motorsport BMW. I commented on that because Aiden Reed was behind the wheel at the time. Race control has just said over the IM system, hey, Turner, check your private IMs. Could this be Turner Motorsport getting a drive-through penalty for excessive abuse of track limits? We've got 13 and a half minutes to go in this race, and it is so important that Bill Oberlin does not go off at turn 1, turn 8, or turn 10. And with faster cars lapping, it's harder to keep it on the line.
And now we've got four cars in the mix. Jeremy Shaw for third place behind Philippe Albuquerque. The number 10 holds it at the moment, but then pretty much everybody else other than Loic Duval is in with a shout.
Yeah, that's right. I think Kamui Kobayashi there got a little bit of traffic in the early part of the lap, so dropped back just a little bit, but he's still not far out of it, and we know how much of a charger Kamui Kobayashi can be. So he's still got his sights here. They had a potentially, they thought they had a podium finish at Sebring. Unfortunately, Simon Pagenaud was, a minute, I think, over the drive limit time. He drove 4 hours and 1 minute out of six consecutive hours during that race. The limit was 4 hours, so they got penalised and put to the whole back of the pack, which is very unfortunate for that team. But it's been a good strong run here, particularly in the later stages for the number 48 team.
12 minutes to go, and Philippe Albuquerque for a moment looks back, and there must have been a moment there as he was looking in his mirror that he thought he'd dropped Pete Mortirani. It's not the case. He's still in there. GT Daytona, that's still very much up for grabs. So the O'Reilly number 74 goes through the battle with Fafcott. Lawrence Vanthoor up into eighth position. He's got Pat Long ahead of him, then Jack Hawksworth, then Daniel Morad. That's up to fifth position, and they're all only a second and a half apart. Not between them, the whole lot. Right up to Daniel Morad and Marcus Paltala in fourth position. Paltala 2.5 seconds away from third. Ross Gunn now 7 seconds away from second place. Brian Sellers, who's 3.5 from Bill Oberlin. And last time around, Ross Gunn did the fastest lap of the race for that Heart of Racing Aston Martin. Whew. And at the LMP3 head of the field, still Colin Brown right with Philippe Fraga. It's dropped away to 0.8 seconds. It was 0.1 seconds the last time I looked. So there is a little bit of fight in Philippe Fraga. He's picked up his pace just a tiny bit. But Colin Brown is fighting back. So all classes have a podium position at least still up for grabs. Down towards turn number 8, and Colin is right with him. There's one car to the NTE Sport Audi again going through turn 8. Fantastic drive. Here comes the battle for the lead in LMP3 towards the end of the track. The blue and orange number 74 on the front straight. Behind that, it's the white and tangerine car. Cross the line. 1.1 seconds between them this time. LMP2 right together now as well. This is ridiculous. I need two heads and more. Hello, Zephyr Brebelbrox. Would you like to come and commentate? We have battles for major positions in all of the classes at the moment. A second and a half. Mikkel Jensen, as I suggested he might be, Jeremy, is catching Tristan Nunes, and he's still got 9.5 minutes to go. We've got time here to have proper finishes in all five classes.
Yeah, we certainly have. It's been a tremendous motor race, I think, pretty much from start to finish. And Olivier Pla now, he's certainly on the move. His last two laps have been quicker than Harry Ticknell. 1.6 seconds the gap now. Three laps to go, it was 3.6.
I've just taken a deep breath because I might not get another one. 9 minutes to go. IMSA Radio and TV together live across the US on XM202. If you're driving at the moment and listening on XM, find somewhere to pull over because this could get very, very loud and exciting indeed in the last few minutes, with major positions, podium positions, championship implications in all five classes still to be decided. Fractions of a second between cars that are battling for the win in category. Five different classes on the circuit at the same time, and we've got five proper races. At the front of the field, the lead that Harry Ticknell has amassed now has dissipated down to 1 second as Pla, with newer tyres on one side of the car, let's not forget, is beginning to plan and scheme and build his plan to get back to that lead car. Pla has not got back to Loic Duval, so that hasn't been a factor in trying to put that car under pressure. What he has got in front of him now is a battle for third place in GT Le Mans. He goes past the BMW of Conor De Filippi on the front straight, the red, white and black car. He'll get down the inside of Nick Tandy into turn one, but Pla will not. And so there's a breathing space again for Harry Tinknell. Pla has to go through in turn two and does. So that gap that was 6 tenths across the line, Jeremy, eases out just a little bit. Tinknell had to make that move at turn two and did. That's given him a tiny bit of space.
Yeah, this is just tremendous. I think they might catch Loic Duval. Look at the lap times. They were a second and a half quicker last time around, even with a bit of traffic there for it. Well, I guess they both had the traffic, didn't they? But they might catch you. That number five car could be a factor for the leaders here, with still 7 minutes remaining. That's another, you know, that's four laps. And they're only about, 3 seconds, less than that, I think, behind the number five car to put it a lap down. He's not going to want to go a lap down, of course.
No.
He's going to make it easy for anybody.
No, and, you know, he's got a championship to run as well. But there's no Cadillac in the fight here. There's no team car. There's no manufacturer allegiance here. So we'll keep an eye on that. But Tinknell at the moment, with 6 minutes left, how canny have they been at Mazda Motorsport and Multimatic? What are the numbers saying? Because now it's down to fuel, I reckon. Fuel and tyres. There's no doubt that Tinknell has the performance. There's no doubt that the Multimatic chassis and the Mazda engine has the performance. Now through to another fast GT Le Mans car. And again, he goes through. Nice spot on the track to get through there, Harry.
Yeah, and a great driver there by John Edwards. He saw what was happening there in his mirrors. He made sure he left plenty of room for that prototype to go through. Tucks in behind the other one, coming onto the longest straight here.
You're right, he's caught Duval. The leader of the race, and in DPI, has caught Duval. Pla just has to go a little bit wide round the Vassar Sullivan, the Lexus, and now three wide into turn six. But Tinknell can't afford to be conservative here. He's on the ragged edge. Pla's held up again a little bit behind the leading GT Le Mans car of Tonio Garci. There's a traffic jam in front of him. Down towards turn seven, he's got to get the car at the right-hand side. Duval actually might be helping him out here, flashing his lights. He's waking up the drivers in their own personal battles from third, fourth and fifth on down in GT Le Mans, that there's faster cars coming and that the blue flags showing there's a faster car behind you aren't just for the battles that they're in. So Duval working a bit like a snowplow at the moment and just giving Harry the opportunity to pick and choose his spots there. Now the question is, what happens when he gets right on the tail of Duval? Well, Duval's squeaked out a bit, and across the line it's 2.2 seconds with 4.5 minutes to go. That traffic, that particular little scheme of traffic, that's gone the way of Mazda, Jeremy.
It has, but as you say, there's still 4.5 minutes remaining, so that's going to be another, three laps, isn't it? Crikey, this is fantastic stuff. Just tremendous racing here. And Olivier Pla here, he's a little bit unlucky there, I think, with where he caught some of the worst of that traffic. But there's still, you know, plenty of time for the same thing to happen the other way around.
4 minutes to go. Still battles going on. Oliver Askew, by the way, has just put the fastest LMP3 lap in of anybody, a 141.6. Oh my goodness, so much going on. LMP2, Tristan Nunes has steadied the ship a little bit. Mikkel Jensen's dropped to all of 1.5 seconds behind as Ollie Pla picks his way through this traffic. It's just a 1.8 second gap. What do we say in endurance racing, multi-class racing? Traffic giveth, traffic taketh away. You can gain a second, lose a second. It can happen in a blink of an eye. somebody doesn't see you, you bang wheels, you're off the circuit.
Look, and we're on board another 24 BMW. Look, he's right with the Corvette again. Two laps ago, it's 4 seconds, the margin between them.
That's for first and second. Garcia in the yellow Corvette and Jonathan Edwards in the black BMW as they go onto the start-finish line. And they're in GTD traffic as well. The two Porsches, the Pfaff machine, right there as well. At the front of the field, Bill Oberlin desperately wanting to steer within the white lines. He's holding on to that 4 second lead from Brian Sellers in second place. 96 blue and yellow BMW from red, white and black number one Lamborghini from Aston Martin Vantage. Ross Gunn in third position. Those are the biggest gaps in the top three, 4 seconds and 7 seconds. I don't think there's 4 seconds and 7 seconds between any of the other top threes, to be honest. Quite extraordinary at the moment. 0.2 of a second. John Edwards now behind Tonio Garcia in GT Le Mans. Colin Brown has dropped a little bit. 1.7 seconds as Felipe Fraga has maybe timed this to perfection with his Michelin tyres. What performance has anybody got left now? Mazda lead by under a second. Coming round with 1:40 to go. It will not be white flag this time around. Oh, will it? No, it's not. It is. It's white flag, but only just by about a couple of seconds. 3.4 miles to go. Wow, that was right on the edge. The white flag was held down. The countdown clock, they're doing 31s. The best lap they've done is a 31. They're doing 33s at the moment. It was about 1 minute 28, 1 minute 29. So absolutely correct showing of the white flag. 3 miles now. Traffic. Plas still trying to get on terms. Tinknell still hasn't got past Loic de Waal. He's right with him now. He's going to have to make a decision here. Goes round the outside, sweeps round the outside, and then to the inside of one of the P3 cars. That's the Riley, I think, as they go through the outer loop and into turn six. Loic de Waal, that was very fair driving by Loic de Waal. Steered to the inside with the leaders coming, and he'll pull to the right again, coming out of the toe of the boot on this, the final lap. Under 2 miles now to go. Loic de Waal, chapeau. Really, really fair driving. They'll be disappointed. Blew the pit lane, red light. That took him out of potentially being in this battle because he had more fuel and would have been able to turn it up to the max. The last time we were at the Sirland 6 hours of the Glen, it started what we called the summer of Mazda. We're in the autumn of Mazda's IMSA career in DPI, but they win again at the Glen. Harry Tinknell takes it to the line and off right at the end for the 0-1. Kevin Magnussen out of fifth position. It's Tinknell, Pla, Albuquerque. So Mazda, Acura, Acura, Bill Power in GT Le Mans, excuse me, GT Daytona, Turner BMW win GT Daytona from Paul Miller Racing, who replaced an engine overnight to take second, and Harter Racing Team on the podium again in third with Ross Gunn bringing that one home. Corvette and Antonio Garcia get the checkered flag by just 0.8 of a second ahead of Edwards. And Conor De Filippi has got through into third. So Nick Tandy couldn't hold on for Corvette. And in LMP2, by a second, Tristan Nunes brings the win Autosport number 11 car home. What a weekend it's been for them, with all kinds of spins and issues. For Mikkel Jensen and the rest of the PR1 Matheson Motorsports number 52, Guy Smith in third for United Autosports. Yeah, Magnussen doesn't finish, so it will be Kobayashi and the Ally Cadillac in fourth, Durrani and the rest of the Whelen Engineering team in fifth position. So Fraga held off Brown in LMP3, Riley Corr, Riley in the top three there. and Mazda have won. Mazda have won. I'll say it again. Mazda have won. Speed, consistency, reliability, and brilliant pit strategy. They took track position at the last pit stop, not tyres, and left it to Harry Tinknell to convert all the hard work that had been done beforehand by the team, by Jonathan Bomarito and by Ollie Jarvis. The 55 Mazda wins the Sealand's 6 hours of the Glen. Jeremy Shaw, I think it's run out of fuel. It's run out of fuel on the slowing down lap. So has Pete Mudrani. Oh my goodness. How close was it? That's how close it was. Tinks is out of fuel on the slowing down lap. I wonder if he's got his phone with him. Can we give him a ring? We've got also a drive through for Kamui Kobayashi. I think that will take him out of fourth place.
I wondered whether that was why Magnussen ended up in the gravel trap, because they were battling for that position on the previous lap.
Yeah. Magnussen had been told to hit a fuel number and he was taken out at turn eight. The 0-1 car was struggling and the Chip Ganassi car was struggling on fuel. And Magnussen hit from behind by Kobayashi. So they'll both drop down. Pete Mudrani and Whelan Engineering then will move up to fourth position. So even after the end of the race, we've still got drama. Kevin Magnussen with all the good Magnussen family hair. Comes from his mother's genes, he told me on Wednesday. Harry Tinknell has never been happier out of fuel on a racetrack, sitting on the side of the car, punching the air with delight and waiting to be picked up. Special K out of the car, helmet already off, unhappy I'm sure. Now, might get back fifth position. It depends what penalty they assessed to Kobayashi. It was a drive through. And after the elation of victory and the realisation, Harry Tinknell taking deep breaths, sitting on the side pod of the victorious number 55, just breathing it in. The last time we'll see this car in the 6 hours here, the Mazda Idemitsu programme coming to an end at the end of this season. And is this to be a second summer of Mazda? As Tinks is heading to the side of the track. It was that close, Jeremy. It was that close.
It was brilliant, wasn't it? That was a fantastic
nice
race.
Nice bottle of water by one of the spectators brought to the edge of the track so that Harry Tinknell, in fact, it was one of the corner workers. Yeah, absolutely brilliant stuff. So that Tinks can get a breath. He's left absolutely nothing from him or the car, Jeremy, out there. The car got back to turn. I think that's turn seven, isn't it? That it got back to.
And look, if they had to do that extra lap, I mean, you talked about it when they took the white flag. It
3 was seconds,
a
Jeremy.
Seconds.
Yeah, 3 seconds.
Exactly.
And he wouldn't have got home. That's an excellent point. Excellent point. Coming up, Michelin post-race tech. We'll stay with our colleagues on TV and on the PA for a moment. It's going to be a while before that car gets back and we can start the podium festivities. So stay with us here at the track on the PA. And indeed, if you're watching on television, Jeremy's doing some quick calculations and we'll try to get a couple of the drivers to speak to us. If not, we'll get them in Michelin post-race tech. Hashtag Michelin PRT. What a race. What a race. Let's recap the results for you then. Unofficial at this point, and with penalties to be applied, certainly in the DPI category. Mazda Motorsport and the 55 car wins it by a second at the end from Mayershank Racing with Kerb Agajani in the number 60 Acura in second place. And Philippe Albuquerque brought the Conyngham Minolta Acura DPI home in third, the number 10 car. Next across the line, Pipo Durrani, that was the Whelen Engineering Racing Cadillac number 31. Then it was the number 48 Ally Cadillac Racing, but that car has been assessed a penalty on the last lap, so I don't think it will stay in that position. Kevin Magnussen ended up in the gravel, but was the last car on, actually didn't complete the 200th lap, but it was now. So where was Loic Duval? He is scored in 7th position. He was just ahead of the leaders. He was behind the leaders as they went across the line. Yeah, so he was a lap back as well.
Yeah, Magnussen had already completed lap 199, so that's why Magnussen is ahead of Duval. And Kobayashi, we'll have to see what that penalty is for Kobayashi, whether he falls just behind Magnussen or whether it's a steeper penalty than that, which would drop him behind Duval as well.
Yeah, that'll have a points implication. As well, LMP2, no doubt what happened there. Win Autosport and the 11 car have taken it by just a second from PR1 Matheson Motorsport and the 52. Then it was the United Autosports Orica, three laps further back in the 22 car. In GT Le Mans, Corvette, two BMWs and Corvette with the 3, 24 and 25 on the podium. Nick Tandy, after the final stop, had fought his way to the lead before that final stop, but the back end of the car not playing ball for Nick in that run to the checkered flag. LMP3, another second and a half separating the top two. Riley Motorsports number 74 ahead of Core Autosports 54. And we have the third place Riley Motorsports number 91 car, all these years, of course. And in GTD, Turner Motorsport, Will Turner, good, but today lucky. But you know what? There's no asterisk. Well done. Bill Oberlin still had to bring it home and does that and wins for BMW and for Turner Motorsport in the 96 and the rest of the team. What a turnaround for the Lamborghini Huracan team. Paul Miller Racing had to change an engine overnight last night into this morning, and the number one car comes through on the podium in second. With Aston Martin Vantage in the shape of the Heart of Racing team in third place for the number 23. Another podium finish. Jeremy, give me what you can with points.
Oh, yeah, where do you want me to start?
Don't mind. GTD?
Right.
At least this. Yeah, we'll leave DPI in case I see something change.
Yeah, exactly right. In the GTD, then, the points leaders won the race. So Bill Oberlin and Robbie Foley will extend their lead. It was only 11 points over Roman De Andres and Ross Garnett. It'll now be extended by 50 because the Aston Martin finished in third place. But such as the point system nowadays, that's a 50-point gap. So that's the situation there. In third position now will be, I think, Brian Sellers and Madison Snow in GTD. In GTLM, again, the points leaders won the race, Antonio Garcia and Jordan Taylor. Jesse Crone, John Edwards and Augusto Farfus will move up to second position in the points ahead of Conor DiFilippi and the other BMW 966. So 1,001 to 966. Tommy Miller and Nick Tandy back in fourth on 9.59. LMP3, again, the top three points scorers finished in the 1-2-3 position. So Garth Robinson will extend his lead in the championship over Jonathan Bennett and Colin Brannick. Was 20 points in Labby, 50 points. Jim Cox and Dylan Murray, they finished in third place, so we'll fall another 20 points back. In LMP2, the points leaders, Ben Keating, Mikkel Jensen, Scott Heifecker, they'll have 734 points. Stephen Thomas, Tristan Nunes and Thomas Merrill will jump from fourth to second on 700, so 34 points behind. John Ferrano and Gabby Albury will be in third place. Overall, the Ricky Taylor and Philip Albuquerque, they will still lead, but the gap that was 79, whatever it was, awfully difficult to figure. I can't figure these numbers out, they're too big. But it's now just a 31-point margin between Taylor and Albuquerque over Jarvis and Harry Tinknell.
Oh, brilliant stuff. Shay, can you give me a very quick Michelin endurance points update before we head to the Michelin post-race tech show?
Yes, in terms of the prototype, it is championship extension for the number 10. They have 33 ahead of the 55 Mazda, which vaults themselves up into contention with 30 points. In P2, it is still the 8 Tower Motorsport car in contention, but the 52 now has a 1-point advantage over them. LMP3, I'm pretty sure Gar Robinson and Scott Andrews have it wrapped up. They have 41 points ahead of Oliver Askew on 33. So all they need to do is start the race for Petit Le Mans, and the three segments should have that done. It is the 3 car, not only leading the championship, but leading the Endurance Cup. They have 34 points ahead of their teammates on 32. And in GTD, it's basically just as close as when we came in. The 16 Wright Motorsport Porsche is leading 28 points. It's a tie for second place, Pfaff Motorsport and Paul Miller Racing on 27. And then back in third place, Mauro Engel with 26.
Perhaps an irony that a Multimatic driver had to be brought back to Victory Circle by a Porsche. They'll be building their DPIs shortly for rollout at the end of 2021. We won't see them in competition until the 2023 season. Let's head down to the media scrum. Shay, Adam, who do you have in this VP Racing report down there?
Ryan Smith is my hero, because thanks to him, we should be able to talk to Antonio Garcia and first Jordan Taylor. Jordan, 21 wins in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. Now, you are the leader in that, but the first win in Watkins Glen, Salem 6 hours. How does this feel?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, yeah, you nailed it. I think this is one of the only tracks that we haven't won here on the IMSA calendar. I think Lime Rock might be another one. I don't know if I've won there. Maybe a couple of poles, but yeah, Watkins Glen was always a big one. The 6 hour, especially, we finished second here back in 2011 with Otto Haas, where we probably could have won the championship with that win. So it's been a long time coming, but it's great to be back here with Corvette Racing. The first time here with the C8R and with no testing, and to come out here and, you know, win the race and have a possible 1-2, just with an unfortunate event for the 4 at the end there. But yeah, can't be prouder of the whole team.
A long, hot race. You leave with both championship leads. That's got to make the, 4 days off even sweeter.
Yeah, it definitely makes it nicer. It's good to have a couple of days to rest on it, you know, have the guys go through the data and see where we can improve for next week. But it's going to be another fight next week, and we'll try to maximize the points again.
Hey, Jordan, it's Hindhoff in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Center. Well done. Fantastic stuff. That seemed a bit difficult at times to get into the rhythm of that race with a couple of safety cars at inopportune moments.
Yeah, it was definitely an odd race, especially with how, you know, the LMP3s cycle to the front of the GT packs every time, and then we kind of have to drive through that. And then you saw it at the end with a couple laps to go, how we caught, you know, a big GTD pack mixed with LMP3s, and you mix in the prototypes and the GCLMs coming through, and it was mayhem. So it was crazy, but at the same time, that's part of him. So that's what makes this series great. That's what makes sports car racing amazing. And thankfully, Antonio, you know, kept his head cool and brought it home.
We heard there was a problem at the rear of Tandy's car at the end. Do you know anything more specific from that? And were you worried it might affect you?
Yeah, I mean, we only heard what he was saying. I don't think anything was seen on the data. But the guys will go through the car. We've got a couple of days off now to have a look at it. The car is still relatively new, so this is, you know, good testing to get these endurance races under our belt before we head overseas.
Yeah, good point. Le Mans in August, of course, this year. Congratulations to you and the rest of the team. That was a bit close for comfort at the end with those German cars right up your tailpipes. Don't celebrate too hard. We'll see you back on Thursday.
All right, thanks a lot.
VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock Report. Great stuff from the guys at the head of the GT Le Mans field. We're going to take our leave from you now on the TV, the IMSA TV feed, and also of the PA at Watkins Glen, and hand over to our colleagues down at the Victory Circle for the formalities will continue on RS2 and XM202 with the post-race show. That's Michelin Post Race Tech, hashtag Michelin PRT, if you want to take part in that. But it'd be remiss of me not to thank everybody who's played such a big part. NASCAR Productions up in Charlotte for giving us the pictures to see all the way around the track. Tyler Norling and the IMSA technical team on site. And, of course, our technical team in London for getting the radio to the world. Brilliant work by everybody. Shay Adam, Jeremy Shaw and me, John Hindhoff, signing off for a minute. We'll take a breath and be back with Michelin Post Race Tech next on IMSA Radio.
This programme is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.